Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 24, text 65, I believe. Yeah, 65. This is the last chapter of the 9th canto, coming into the home stretch here. Excuse me. Okay. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna. Vrajat kapola subhagam savila sahasam. Nityo savam natha tripurid. Drishi bhibhi bhanto pantyo. Naryo narascha mudita kupita namescha. Yasyana nam makara kundala charu karna. Brajat kapola subhagam savila sahasa. Nityotsavam natar tripur drishi bipi banto yo. Naryo narascha mudita kupita namescha. Yasyana nam makara kundala charu karna. Brajat kapola subhagam savila sahasa. Nityotsavam natha tripur drishi bipi bhyanjo. Naryo narascha mudita kupita namescha. Vaishnava? Yasyana nam makara kundala charu karna. Rajat kapola subhagam savilasa hasam. Nityo savam natatri pur tushibi pibantyo. Naryo narascha mudita kupita namescha. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karna. Brajat kapola subhagam savila sahasam. Nityotsavam Shibipipyanto. Naryo narascha mudita kubita namescha. Yasyana namakara kundala charakarna. Brajat kapola subhagam savila sahasam. Nityotsavam na tatribhur pnishibhi pipyancho. Narayo narascha mudita kubita namescha. Vaishnavis? Yasyana namakara kundala charukarna. Brachan kapola sabagam savila sahasam. Yasyana namakara kundala charakarna. Rajat kapola subhagam savila sahasam. Nityo javanna tachibir jishibi pipyamcho. Narayo narascha mudita kupita namescha. Yasya. Whose? Ananam, face. Makara kundala charukarna, decorated by earrings resembling sharks and by beautiful ears. Brajat, brilliantly decorated. Kapola, forehead. Subhagam, declaring all opulences. Savilasahasam, with smiles of enjoyment. Nitya utsavam, whenever one sees him, one feels festive. Natatripur, they could not be satisfied. Jishibi, by seeing the form of the Lord. Pibanta, as if drinking through the eyes. Narya, all the women of Vrindavan. Nara, all the male devotees. Cha, also, mudita, fully satisfied. Kupita, angry. Nime, the moment they are disturbed by the blinking of the eyes. Cha, also. Translation. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. Purport. As stated by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manusyanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatatam abhisiddhanam kaschin mam veti tattvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Unless one is qualified to understand Krishna, one cannot appreciate the presence of Krishna on earth. Amongst the Bhojas, Vrishnis, Andakas, Pandavas, and other kings intimately related with Krishna, the intimate relationship between Krishna and the inhabitants in Vrindavan is especially to be noted. That relationship is described in this verse by the words Nityotsavam na tatripur drishibhi pibhyantya. The inhabitants of Vrindavan especially, such as the cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, and gopis, and Krishna's father and mother, were never fully satisfied, although they saw Krishna's beautiful features constantly. Seeing Krishna is described here as Nitya Utsava, a daily festival. The inhabitants of Vrindavan saw Krishna almost every moment, but when Krishna left the village for the pasturing grounds where he tended the cows and calves, the gopis were very much afflicted because they saw Krishna walking on the sand and thought that Krishna's lotus feet, which they dared not place on their breasts because they thought their breasts were not soft enough, were being pierced by broken chips of stone. By even thinking of this, the gopis were affected and they cried at home. These gopis, who were therefore the exalted friends of Krishna, saw Krishna constantly, but because their eyelids disturbed their vision of Krishna, the gopis condemned the creator, Lord Brahma. Therefore, the beauty of Krishna, especially the beauty of his face, is described here. At the end of the ninth canto, in the 24th chapter, we find a hint of Krishna's beauty. Now we are proceeding to the 10th canto, which is considered Krishna's head. The entire Srimad Bhagavat Purana is the embodiment of Krishna's form, and the 10th canto is his face. This verse gives a hint of how beautiful his face is. Krishna's smiling face, with his cheeks, his lips, the ornaments in his ears, his chewing of betel nuts, all this was minutely observed by the gopis, who thus enjoyed transcendental bliss, so much so that they were never fully satisfied to see Krishna's face, but instead condemned the creator of the body for making eyelids that obstructed their vision. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys, or even by Jasoda Mata, who was also interested in decorating the face of Krishna. Om Nagyanath Mirandasya Ganangana Shilakaya Chakshura and Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Guruvena Mahamukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Grim Yat Kripatam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinatananam Vanshakalpa Tarubyas Chakripas Vinubye Vachapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namah. So this verse describes the vision of a pure devotee, a prema bhakti, someone who is a mahabhagavat. Someone whose eyes, premanjana charita bhakti velo chanena sandhaksadhaiva rudayeshu velokayanti yam shama sundaram achincha guna swarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. That his eyes are anointed by the salve of love of God, and because of that ointment on his eyes, or one's eyes, one can see Shyamasundara in a different way than other people see. So it's not just about eyelids, and it's not just about blinking, and it's not even just about eyes, because we all have eyes, and we can all see. And sometimes we see Shyamasundara and Srimati Radharani and Krishna Balaram and Gornatai. But I don't know about you, but as soon as I leave the temple room, I'm thinking of many other things besides seeing Shyam's face. And my blinking of my eyelids isn't the only problem. There are other problems, even though I have trifocals. I have close up, middle, and far away adjustments made on my eyes. But still, no matter how close up, no matter how middle, no matter how far away I get, I still really can't see Shyamasundara. So what's the problem? This idea of spiritual vision is the vision, the necessity of proper vision is very much present in our Siddhanta, in the conclusion of our Vedic study of our teachings of Srila Prabhupada. We see in the Bhagavad Gita, just before Arjuna saw the universal form, he was hearing how he could see Krishna everywhere. He could see Krishna in the trees, he could see Krishna in the mountains, he could see Krishna in the water. Yesterday we were at the ocean in Daytona, and I was chanting on the beach, and I was thinking, this ocean is Krishna. And I was thinking of the tsunami and how the water pulls back and then comes up in a huge wall, and how powerful the Supreme Lord is in that ocean. But that ocean is just a small part of Krishna's power, because ultimately Krishna says, what use is this? Is all this description? I'm with a single spark of my splendor, I pervade the whole universe. But Arjuna, hearing Krishna's descriptions of himself in the material energy, his interest becomes piqued. Even though he was looking at Krishna face to face, talking to that Soumya Vapu, that Soumya Rupa, that beautiful form of Krishna, still he was intrigued, he wanted to see the universal form, as we call it, the Virat Rupa. So he asked Krishna, can you please let me see the Virat Rupa? You've described to me how you're here and there and how I can see you here and there, but I want to see that form. Can you show me that form? So Krishna, if you ever watched a Hindi movie, it's at this point that Krishna lifts his arm and this rays of light comes out of his hand and hits Arjuna right in the eyes, and there's this sound, boing, and then all of a sudden Krishna pops up, another set of arms, a few more heads, and many, many heads, and then things start coming in and out of his mouth, and fire, and all these things start happening. So, with the help of cinematography, we get to see the universal form. But in order for Arjuna to see the universal form, Krishna had to give him Divya Chakshush, divine vision. And Prabhupada describes that divine vision was actually a step-down vision. Arjuna had already visioned that he could see Krishna, Supreme Personality, face to face, but he wanted to see something less. He wanted to see Krishna's existence in this material world, so he was given this other vision. He had on, you know, these glasses, 3D glasses or some kind of glasses, so that he could see the material world present before him, and he saw everything everywhere in one place. He saw past and present and future, and he observed that form of Krishna first with reverence and then with horror. It was actually ghastly for him, and he became very frightened, and he ultimately said, could you close it down now? Could you take it away? I really would rather see the other forms of you, first your four-armed form, and then again that Soumya Vapu, that beautiful two-armed form of you that I call my friend, that I'm accustomed to seeing. And the effect of seeing that form on Arjuna lasted for a little while. He was apologetic, he was falling on the ground, he was losing his composure. That power of that form was so scary and so impressive that he thought, maybe I've offended you, being your friend and talking to you closely and sitting on the same bed. And but Krishna assured him, and then he went on with his original vision. So we see neither the Virat Rupa nor Shyamasundara, or maybe we see both of them, the Virat Rupa and Shyamasundara, occasionally. right? In the morning, we take darshan and we stand reverentially in front of the altar. Maybe we offer some prayers. We bow down, Govindam plays. And then, so then we see Shyam and we think, oh, he's so beautiful. Look at those flowers and the painting is so nice and Radharani's tikka is beautiful and look at the garland and who made the flowers. It's so pretty. And then we look outside. Yesterday we had a storm and we see branches flying all over the place and puddles of water in our house and tents on the floor falling down. And we think, wow, that's Krishna. Yesterday I saw the ocean, I thought, wow, that's Krishna. So a little every once in a while, we see Krishna in his Virat Rupa, and we see Krishna in his Somyavapu, and we think, wow, that's Krishna. But more often than not, we don't see Krishna at all. And, of course, we think of Krishna, but we're looking at Krishna through a curtain. Queen Kunti, she says, Maya Javani Kachanam Adyad Hokshajam Avyayam. That this Javani, Maya Javani, this curtain of the illusory energy, it blocks my vision. I can't see it because I have material desire, because I have this curtain of illusion blocking me. Even though I'm looking at you, she was talking to him, praying to him. Even though I'm looking at you, even though I'm talking to you, I can't really see you. And we're also behind that curtain. That's why we pray to the spiritual master sometimes at the beginning of class or whenever we feel the need to pray, Om Agyana Tamirandasya. Please give me the vision, or I thank you, Krishna, my spiritual master, because he's given me the vision. He's given me the vision to see the Supreme Personality of God. He's opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. But even though our eyes are open, we're still behind this curtain. So even though our eyes are, we have the knowledge, here it is, it's right here, Krishna's description is here, Krishna's on the altar, we're going to read the 10th canto, it's going to get into good descriptions we've read before in Krishna book. Prabhupada gave it to us at the very beginning of the Krishna consciousness movement, that Krishna book he gave us. And we had the description of the Ras Lila, and we had the description of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, and so many wonderful, beautiful descriptions of Krishna. We had beautiful paintings of Krishna that were being produced on a regular basis. Prabhupada said they were windows to the spiritual world. But if the window is blocked by a curtain, then even though we're looking at the window, we can't see anything. Or if the window is dirty, right? And the window is dirty, then we can't see out the window. We see something, but we can't see clearly because there's dirt there. So our spiritual master, he's given us the ability to see. He's given us the knowledge to see. But we have to do the work. We have to keep cleaning the window. And we have to remove the curtain of illusion. And removing the curtain of illusion, cleaning that window free from the debris of material desire, so that when we chant to Krishna, we don't chant, give me a house by the sea and a new DVD, Swamin Jaya Jagadisha Hari. We don't chant to Krishna to please fulfill my material desires and help me out materially. We chant to him, please give me the vision to be able to see your beautiful form, that I can appreciate those makara kundala, the beautiful earrings that you wear, and your beautiful smiling face that's like a nitya utsava, eternal festival. In the Sri Upanishad, there's that verse, Hiranmayena Patrena, please remove your effulgence even. We don't even see the effulgence. We haven't even got to that part. Krishna, remove your effulgence. But it's not the effulgence that's blocking us. We're not that advanced. It's not that we see the effulgence. We see the material energy, and we see it as a source of pleasure. And because we see that source of pleasure, we don't see Sundara Ananda Visheshatma. Krishna is described as Sundara Ananda Visheshatma. It means bliss, which is so concentrated that it's millions of times more concentrated than any happiness available in the material world. And when you have prem bhakti, then you get to taste that bliss. Only a drop of it will knock you out. Literally, it will knock you out. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, people are being knocked out all the time, right? They're falling over and crying tears, and all they have to do is see a tree or hear Krishna's name or see another devotee, and they just fall on the floor. Lord Chaitanya was described as falling on the floor so hard that people would be thinking that the earth, it was an earthquake, or they would worry that all his bones were going to shatter. Because just Sundarananda Sheshatma, that desire, that pleasure of seeing Krishna was so concentrated, so strong, that he couldn't hold it. It was just like, wow, boom. So obviously, no one's falling over. And maybe occasionally we shed a tear, but most of the time, at least for myself, if I shed tears, it's tears that say, why can't I see the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why can't I follow the order of my spiritual master well enough so that even though he's given me Divya Chakshus, he's given me, opened my eyes with the torch knot of knowledge. He's helped to allow me into the Bhagavatam so that I can hear these wonderful descriptions, but I still can't see and I still can't appreciate. So it seems that we have some work to do. And Prabhupada's given us the perfect formula to do it. He's told us what to do, and we know what to do. And to some extent, we carry it out. We do it, and that's very helpful. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti is essential to just do it. But eventually, we have to get beyond that. We have to get to the ability to be able to see Krishna, to curse the Lord Brahma, the creator, because when the curtains close or when our eyelids close, then we can no longer see Krishna. Because we have such a burning desire to see Krishna every moment. It's described that when Mother Jasoda would send Krishna and Balaram out to the pasturing grounds, she would pack a little lunch. And then just as Krishna was about to leave the house, she would say, wait a minute, I didn't give you enough sweets. Come back and let me put some more sweets in the package. So then he would come back and she'd give him some sweets and she'd straighten his hair and fix his necklace. And then she'd send him out again. And just as he was leaving, she said, wait a minute. I think you need some more of this other preparation that I made. So come back for a second and just give him that. And then he'd come back and she'd look at him again. And then she'd give him some more of something. And then she'd adjust again his hair and his pearls. And then she'd send him out. And then she'd call him back a third time. And still, finally, Nanda Maharaj had said, let him go already. He has work to do. The boys are waiting for him outside. It's time for him to go. But she couldn't bear the thought that he would go. And the gopis, they would stand in the evening when Krishna would come back. They'd stand in the top of the buildings and they'd watch for the dust of the clouds of the cows as they'd coming back from the pasture. And when they saw that dust, then they'd know it would be just a few seconds before Krishna would come, because he was leading those cows. He was with those cows, and the dust, he was covering his body. So they were always anticipating, always in the mind's eye contemplating, always thinking of Krishna. And that thought, a constant remembrance of Krishna, gave them the ability to constantly talk about Krishna, constantly remember him, constantly think of him, constantly serve him, constantly desire to please him. And because they were pleasing him, he was rewarding them from within the heart. He was destroying any obstacle. Even when they were saying, but you're going in Mathura, he would say, no, I'm with you all the time. I'm with you all the time. So for us to be with Krishna all the time, we have to come to this point where all the material vision that we have that clouding our eyes, the curtain of the illusory energy has to be pulled away, and then we'll be able to see Krishna. The devotee prays to his spiritual master, you can enlighten me. Give me eyes to see. He prays to the Lord, remove your glaring effulgence, the curtain, and give me eyes to see. And until we have those eyes, we can hear submission and surrender. Until we render service, then the Lord and his devotees will stand by and allow us to experiment with the material world. And when they see that we're sincerely endeavoring, maybe they'll give us the eyes to see. Maybe they'll remove the curtain. But that's up to them. We can only inspire them. Then we can curse the Creator, for giving us eyelids that prevent us from seeing Krishna at every moment. So I'll stop there. If there's any questions, I'll try to answer. Hare Krishna. It's pretty lofty subject matter. Oh, Hare Krishna, Guru Prasad. She sees Krishna everywhere. Every time she goes in her garden, she sees flower garlands decorating Krishna. They're just separated by time.
You know, in the purport, it was saying that even elevated in Mother Yashoda, because Mother Yashoda wanted to decorate Krishna's face, but the gopis wanted to see Krishna's face without decoration. Mother Yashoda is doing the service of decorating, but the gopis, it's kind of hard to understand, you know, or it gets seemed to get higher and higher and higher. You're totally
yeah,
right
it's higher that. And higher. Yeah. It's way higher than me, mine. I don't know that... I don't know the gopis. Does it say that the gopis wanted to see him without decorations? I don't think it says that. They just wanted to see his smiling face. The beauty of Krishna's face was therefore much more appreciated by the gopis than by his friends, the cowherd boys, and even Yashoda, who was interested in decorating his face. It doesn't exactly say that the gopis wanted to see his face without decoration. I remember Srila Prabhupada used to say that the flowers that are offered to the deities enhance the beauty of the deities 1,000 times. So all the different peacock feathers and painting and even the dust from the cows that covered Krishna's body, they all enhance the pleasure of the gopis. They all enhance the pleasure of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj so they can see. But the gopis, they had such intense love that they appreciated it even more than Mother Yashoda, which to me is beyond. The more than part, I can't compute that more than. I can't go up that high. Yes, Trivikram Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So when Lord Krishna came, he came in his original form. Uh-huh. You know, just one special form. But then when he showed Arjuna the Virat Roop, he also showed Arjuna 400 form, and then he showed him a 200 form. Mm-hmm. And he said, this form can only be understood by unalloyed devotional service.
Right.
Is that form different from the one that he was with Arjuna? I mean,
No, it's not different. It was the same form. It's actually described that Krishna's other friends were closer to Krishna than Arjuna was because Arjuna was watching Krishna's back most of the battle because Krishna was Arjuna's chariot driver. So Arjuna was watching Krishna's back, whereas Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, they saw Krishna's more from the front. But, you know, this more, most, it's so... When you're up that high, the difference, the more, the less, from our perspective, it's, at least from my perspective, it's off the charts. So there's, it's really for the sake of describing it to us more that those words are used, because who can understand the greatness of Mother Yashoda and Arjun, his ability to be with Krishna and on the chariot. And there were many, many people on the battlefield present at the time that Krishna was there, who saw him regularly, who didn't understand he was Krishna at all. There's that whole story when Krishna came as the Shantidut, and he came to the Sabha, and he offered, he wanted to negotiate with Dhritarashtra, that you just give 5 villages, and we won't have a war. Just 5 villages, the Pandavas will be happy, and everything will be fine. And Duryodhana said, I won't give them enough land to put on the head of the pin. And then he gave instruction to his men to arrest Krishna. And so they went forward to arrest Krishna. He was looking at Krishna. He was talking to Krishna. And yet he wanted to arrest Krishna. And so that time also Krishna showed a Virat Rupa. And his Haran Mayena, his effulgence, was blinding everybody in that audience. was blinded except for like three or four people, Vidura, Bhima, Bhishma, and Drona. They were the only ones that could see Krishna. Everyone else in the room was like, couldn't see anything. And when it was over, it wasn't like Duryodhana thought, wow, he's really powerful, isn't he? He thought, no, he's just got some tricks. He's some kind of mystic yogi, and he's got some, you know, some sleight of hand or sleight of body or sleight of light or something that he can cover everybody over. He still didn't get it. And there were many people on the battlefield, the majority of people actually on the battlefield that didn't see. So it's not just that Krishna is in front of us that makes the ability to see him, because many people saw him but didn't saw him. And so if we want to see Krishna, we have to have the qualification, and the qualification is internal, not external. So that's why we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for giving us the ability to see Krishna. But just like Krishna gave Arjuna the ability to understand what was going to happen on the battlefield and understand that it was his duty to fight, ultimately Krishna said, now I've told you everything, do what you want. So the rest is in our, the ball is in our court. And Krishna, Prabhupada's given us everything, but now we'll do what we want. And if we don't want Krishna, then we'll get something else.
Also recalling that Rupa Goswami also prays in a slightly different way than asking to remove the effulgence. He's asking to be attracted to Krishna like young boys and young girls are attracted. Mm-hmm. So in another place, Jiva Goswami was commenting in the Nectar of Devotion written by Rupa Goswami that it is this emotion that actually brings out our activity, our of bhakti. So what I'm wondering, is it lesser to want Krishna's effulgence to be so we can see Krishna than to we actually want to be attracted to him?
There's that higher word again, lesser.
In other words, first, then get attracted?
Well, I mean, first you have to deserve, then you can desire. You can desire whatever you want, but you're going to get what you're going to get according to your qualification. The adhikar comes, so, you're talking about Rupa Goswami, who was looking at Krishna and thinking, let me have attraction for him, like young boys have attraction for young boys. And then in the Sri Upanishad, you're hearing this speaker of the Vedas say, remove your effulgence. But Rupa Goswami didn't have a problem with effulgence. He was already past that stage. So we have to go in the stage that we go in, you know. I mean, Prabhupada has given us the highest knowledge. The Bhagavatam also is giving us now, and for the whole 10th canto, and even before, glimpses of the highest knowledge. So we have the information. We have the jnana chakshus, so to speak, the eyes of knowledge to see. But we need that emotion or that intense desire, that lol yam, that greediness for the Supreme Lord, that we don't want anything else. As long as we want anything else, we won't be able to see Krishna. But Prabhupada gives the example that he tells a story about one young woman who was coming out in the dead of night to see her lover. And so she was running to meet him, and she bunked into a sage, and she just kept running. And he was very angry because she had touched him and with her feet, and she kept running. When she came back, she saw the sage again, and she offered obeisances. She was very reverent. And he said, why, when you went, you just ran by me and you hit me, almost knocked me over. She said, well, when I was going, all I was thinking about was my lover. I couldn't see anything else. I couldn't think of anything else. I didn't even notice you. But now I'm coming back. It's over, and now I notice you there. So that intensity of desire that the gopis had when they heard that flute, that they put on their clothes upside down, they didn't stay and make sure all the pleats were perfect and the thing was tucked in just right and the bracelets were perfect and there were no bumps. My daughter always used to say, Mata, I don't want any bumps in my hair. It has to be, you know. But that all those things become inconsequential. All they're thinking about is seeing Krishna. So that intense greed, that intense eagerness to see Krishna is the qualification for being able to see the Supreme Lord in that form. And we have to develop that, whatever it takes. So we have to start somewhere. So we start with Vaidhisadhana Bhakti and prayer and intense desire, and we have the instruction, we have the associate, all the ingredients are there. But we have to work with it to achieve the success. And then again, there's also the understanding that ultimately the success is not within our hands. That we can't achieve the success in one sense, because the success is awarded to us. Krishna gives it. Krishna is the only one that can give us his vision. We can't demand it. We don't earn it. It's not like when you get a certain number of credits, then someone gives you the diploma, and then you show that, and you know, you get into the cinema, and it opens up, and there's Krishna, and the curtain's gone. It's not like that. So for Krishna to be inspired to remove that maya javanikachchanam is up to him when. And we have to be faithful enough to allow ourselves to fall and follow that intense eagerness without really knowing when we'll achieve that success. Because we don't have any idea. Could be tomorrow. Prabhupada said you could see Krishna in 1 minute. He told Rupa Nuga, you can see Krishna in 1 minute. Hare Krishna. And Krishna wants us to see him because the curtains won't close. So, you know, this is up to Krishna. So I should stop. Hare Krishna. All glories to Prabhupada.